This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Excited to welcome our guests today, Al and Esther Derry. Al's going to bring a word of God. Let me ask you this. Oh, yeah, I know. Are you ready to receive the word of God today? Because God's going to stir you. He's going to shake something up in you. You know, Al and Esther have been in our lives for a number of years. Al actually married us. It's all your fault. In a good way. It's a good thing. We love you. And they were a part of early beginnings of our life as a couple in ministry. And we love you guys. And we watch you. And we hear your heart and your passion for people and how you reach people. And so he's going to bring a word of the Lord. It's going to raise a bit of faith in the house. Are you ready to receive this morning? Would you welcome Pastor Al?
Thank you, Pastor. We love you. I married Jess's mom and dad as well. They were just... I think. Was I there? I wasn't even born yet, was I? You guys are not that young. Oh, so good to be here. Praise the Lord. You know what? If I lived in Calgary, you know the first thing I'd do? Move to Vancouver. And then I'd get there and realize I could only afford a camping tent. And I'd come back to Calgary and say, well, how do things get so expensive here? And then second thing I'd do if I lived in Calgary is this is where I'd come to church. How many know it's not easy to find a good church? It's not that the church in and of itself is God's idea. How many know the church is God's idea? And how many know God has great ideas? How many know man can screw up God's good ideas? I've done that a few times. Way too many smiles and acknowledgments out there. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. If you're looking for a church, you found it. You need to stop looking. You need to stop going somewhere. The worship in this house is off the charts. So good. I was telling the team earlier, the worship team, that every level, and Caleb would understand the difference between good worship and just nice people, right? There's nice people, and then there's like good worship, right? He's fantastic, and his mom, and his dad, not so much. His dad's a great guy, great minister, great leader, terrible singer, right? Sings in our sharp for sure. Like, he legitimately sings in our sharp, does he not? Yeah, he does. Good to see you, Caleb. Bless you. Yeah, so if you're looking for a church, you found it. Stop looking. You're not going to find it. I mean, the word that's preached in this house is off the charts. Great. Well, you have just most incredible leaders. And I know some of you, you drive a little to get here. I have some good friends of mine here today, and they said that church is too far. And I said, well, just go check it out. And then they came and checked it out, and they're here all the time. They're just like, you can't get rid of them now. Kenton and Denise down there is awesome. Good people. I think I told you, it's like after you meet the pastors, the next people you need to meet is Kenton and Denise, because they're just great leaders, great people of God, people who love Jesus, people who love the body of Christ. And just good to see so many good people here and friends this morning. And thank you. And I just want to lead us in worship again. Just kidding. See what happens. Let's sing that song one more time. As the presence of God is here, now the presence of God is gone. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Go to Swiss Chalet. As everybody knows, that the chicken chalet is anointed chicken, right? Do you guys actually have chalet in Calgary? You do? Is it still as bad as it was like years ago? I called the worship team. We're going to lead in worship. Okay, whoever pays him, this is a free week. You get to no pay this week. Love you, buddy. You're off the charts. I'm sure. Not only I know, most of you wouldn't know this, but there would be lots of people trying to steal your pastors. You need to know this. And so you just need to love on them and make sure, love them so much that they can't go anywhere else. And there'd definitely be people trying to steal your worship people. And so just love on your worship team. I don't see, Chris, has he gone home? I just wanted to, Esther and I wanted to, so sometime this week with your worship team, I want you to take them all out for wings and nachos and non-alcoholic beer and wine. That's like, we all know Jesus turned the water into grape juice because it makes a lot of sense. And it was Welch's. That's what I was taught growing up. And I believed it. What a fool I was. I'm not trying to be a wine. You just take them all out, hand in the bill to Chris, and I'll approve it. No, we will cover that bill. We just want to sow into your worship team. So just keep an eye on how much they buy. Like $4.99 per person is about. Like two wings and one French fry. Thank you. He knows what I'm going to preach. All right. $5.01. You need to get ready to run again. There's new strength coming into your feet, new strength coming into your core, new strength coming into your mind. There's desires in your heart that have yet to come to pass, and God says, I'm about ready to see a fruition in some of those areas of your life. Seeds planted deep, 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 deep down. And maybe even some disappointment where it's not come to pass. But I see the flame of God begin to stir up that seed of desire that's been in your heart. And God says he wants you to get ready to run again. He wants you to get ready to get strong again. He wants you to get ready to soar again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That just came out of nowhere. That's worth like $3.99 right there. So, praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk about what ceiling. Say this with me. Say, what ceiling? It's kind of a question and an exclamation mark. And what God is revealing to us in 2024 is what God wants to do in our hearts. God would never reveal anything to you and not want to bring it to pass. You know, he doesn't play mind. How many know God doesn't play mind games? Amen? I know some Christians can play some mind games, you know. And how many know the only thing worse than a mind game playing Christian is what? Two mind game crazy Christians. And so God is revealing some things, and it is of my practice to just try to get the mind of the Lord, not just get a good teaching or a good message, but to get the mind of the Lord on some things and what God is saying in the nation, what God is saying to the people of God, what God is saying in the city that Esther and I are from, Vancouver. And so I was in prayer one of my mornings, and I'm a pacer, so when you see me move like this all over this place, I was telling one of the staff after the first service when we were in our first youth ministry, our first youth ministry, we had some, God did some really cool things there, and we're in a gymnasium, and so it was like, and we had so many kids, we couldn't do it lengthways, we had to do width, so we could just cram all in, we were tight, and so like it'd be like chairs right there, you know, and some of the kids were, a lot of them were non-church kids, and they would say, Pastor, I would really love your preaching, but we get dizzy when you walk, and I said, I'm sorry, this is how I preach, this is how I pray, you know, so I have offices over the years where literally you can just see this worn out path, you know, down my office, and I have my office right now in Vancouver is in my garage, and so as is my practice, I'm praying and calling on the Lord and just asking and asking what's God, and my mind, it goes towards the thought of barrenness. And thinking about barrenness and barrenness scriptures and things that were barren that I read in the scripture. And then I was reminded of, and Holy Spirit just gently began to speak to me about some of the barren things going on in my life. And so there was five or six. There was like some investments that were barren and some relationships that were barren and some health issues that seemed to be barren and ministry stuff and friends that I was walking with and praying for and standing with them for their breakthroughs and their answers to prayer. There was some barrenness there. And I was asking God, like, God, what's actually happening here? Like, what's going on? And then I said to him, what do I actually need to do about it? How many know it's a good idea to ask God the question? And how many know it's okay to ask him? And what we have to do is we have to be brave enough when we ask him to be able to receive the answer. See, what happens sometimes is we're praying for God to answer the prayer the way that we want him to. When in essence, he loves us so much that if you'll just yield to the way that he's going to answer, it's going to turn out way better than you ever thought. You think you've got a good idea at how God could answer that prayer. Listen to me. He's got a million ways that he can bless you, that he can heal you, that he can restore you, that he can take that seed that's dormant in your life and bring it back to life in Jesus' name. And so I asked God, I said, so what am I, how, what do you want me to do about this? And he says this to me. He says, invite me into every barren place of your life. And I took this deep breath. And then you know what happened? Those warm, my eyes started leaking, right? You know, and they have to, you know, it happens a lot to me, and I have to tell people, say, are you okay? No, I got allergies. I do have allergies, but it's not why I said, no, I have allergies. No, I've been rubbing my eyes. It's like, no, I'm actually crying. And these warm tears start flowing because how many know when God begins to reveal something to you, he's going to do something. God would never reveal that to me, just like, okay, well, yeah, you're barren, all the best. See you when you get to heaven. No. He's got a plan now. He's up to something now. And so he said to me, he said, will you invite me into every barren place in your life? And I was just, I remember gasping in this good way. And I said, yes. And then I went through and I said, Lord, this has been barren in my life. I invite you into that. And I just went through logistically, logically in my life where things were coming to remembrance. Holy Spirit was bringing me into remembrance. And so that was what we call a rhema word. There's two types of word with God, and there's one is the logos word and the rhema word. The rhema word is his spoken word. When God, how many believe God still speaks? Right? He speaks every language of the earth. He speaks swishele. Man, I must be hungry. It's like, oh yeah, second service. No, he doesn't. He would never go to Swishley. But anyway, and then he has logos word. Logos word is the written word. Everybody say the written word. And so he gave me a rhema word that if you'll, he says, invite me into every barren place in your life. And then he told me what's going to happen when I do. And that's the verse. And I can't remember if I gave you that passage there. Did we have it? Oh, I got to open this up here. See how cool I am, Kenton? I preach from this now. I have no notes here. Isn't that pretty cool? He remembers when I had many notes. And he said, you still need notes, Pastor Al. Do you have that? Do you have that Psalm 115 passage there somewhere? Oh, I love you so much. These guys have done such a great job. Thank you so much. So what God is revealing to you, he's restoring to you. And this is the answer that he gave to this. The Lord remembers us. Aren't you glad he remembers us? Like, I'm after you today. I'm sorry. You sat in that chair. You probably said, I should have sat in the balcony. But I got some guy in the balcony. He was hiding up there, and Jesus found him, too. He's like the only one up there, and he's like, why me? It's because God was after him, and he's after you, too. So God's remembering you as well. You just need to hear that. He's not forgotten. The Lord remembers us and will what? The Lord remembers us, and he will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless the house of the Smalls. He'll bless the house of Dave and Jess. He'll bless the house of Esther and I. He'll bless the house of Harmon and his family. He will bless the people Israel and Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord, everybody say, cause. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. And God was saying to me, every barren place in your life, I'm now going to cause it to flourish. And so what I want to set you up with this morning is about this whole concept of sealing. I want to talk to you about the sealing and where there was no sealing in creation, and then sealing came into the earth, but where we actually have access to and can reestablish going to a place where we actually don't live under a sealing anymore. And I think that's part of where we're going to see where there has been barrenness, where God is going to cause it to flourish. And when God causes it, man, it's going to happen. Nothing can get in the way when God causes something to happen. Can I get an amen? God is going to cause you and your family to flourish. God is going to cause your health to flourish. God is going to cause your answered prayers to flourish in Jesus. God is going to cause your business to flourish in Jesus. God is going to cause your drum solos to... You should have did a drum solo. And a guitar. Next time I'm here, a guitar solo with your teeth. It can happen. Can you do it? Can you do a teeth solo? You can try. He can do it. He can do it. All right. Okay, we'll put $100 on the table for that. But there's this understanding of we've got to get a better perspective of the way that God wants to show up. He doesn't want to just show up. sit down with you, sing Kumbaya. He wants to show up and cause you to flourish. He wants to show up and turn your barren places into something greater. He wants to show up and restore things that have been lost. And so, again, we go back to this concept, this understanding that what is God saying to us this year? What is God revealing to us? And if he's revealing to us that he wants to do some wonderful things, we need to embrace it and then posture ourselves to receive it. And so hopefully by the time we get done today, that's what we'll be able to get you to that place and get you to that understanding. There's a counseling term called life paralysis, and it's this. It's a counseling term that refers to all of the opportunities we miss because we are too afraid to be imperfect, or we're afraid to be imperfect, to make a mistake and disappoint others. In the investment world, there's things called actual cost versus opportunity cost, Rob. Actual cost is, you know, our balance statement, our income statement, our check statement, our Swiss Chalet balance sheet statement. Rob's ate a mini quarter chicken whites with fries and extra sauce. You are the chicken guy, actually. I forgot about that. And in 1998, anybody ever heard of Yahoo? Not Calgary Yahoo. When you say Yahoo in Calgary, like, Yahoo! Yeehaw! Not that one. The actual company that was like a major tech giant years and years ago. How many remember? You remember Yahoo? In 1998, Yahoo could have bought Google for $1 million. Today, market cap, Google or / Alphabet, is $1.7 trillion. How about that being a missed opportunity? Can I get an amen? And so there's this understanding of, you know, who are we in the kingdom of God? And maybe we need to reassess the missed opportunities that we have had and say, God, we've been walking in barrenness or experiencing barrenness. See, because we can have this together in our life and this together in life and this together in our life, but this is totally messed up. And God wants us to walk in the fullness of his blessing, right? That's what biblical prosperity means. Biblical prosperity does not mean finances. It involves finances, but it doesn't mean finances. Finances is the lowest level of the blessing. Our society thinks it's way up here, but it's all the way down. It matters, but it's here. It's finances, it's spiritual, it's physical, it's relational, it's emotional, it's these steps of how prosperity and the blessing works in our lives. And so I think the thing that we want to get in line here and say, well, what is God saying right now? What is he wanting to do right now in our life? Everybody say right now. I had two very specific wake-up calls in my life, and you can throw up that next verse if you don't mind. I've had a number of them, but one of them was this verse here a number of years ago. When I read this, it eventually I got a revelation on it. Here's what revelation is. Revelation means, in its terminology, actually means light, to get light shined on something. And so that's when you're reading a verse, like I memorized literally hundreds and hundreds of scriptures and I had no revelation on. It was just pure word in my life, okay? But when revelation happened, you can't change unless you get revelation. You can't read the word and have just by pure willpower, have it change you. How you get changed is through revelation. Revelation is when the lights turn on. You're like, oh, now I understand. So this happened for me. It says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and blessings and... And so God has said, hey, I've set this before you. Life and death, blessings and just in case we're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, he gives us the answer. Now choose what? Isn't he good like that? He said, just in case you're mixed up, just in case something happened to the Alberta water, just in case Lord, I just thank you that you're helping the Calgary Flames right now just to heal their hearts right now. Oh, okay, I just got distracted. Oh, and thank you for the Vancouver Canucks. All right. Blessing and curse. Now choose what? so that you and your children may live, so that you may live, that you may have a life, so that you can. And what transformed my life is I realized that this is actually a choice. Because I thought, well, Rob can be blessed, and Dave can be blessed, and Caleb can be blessed, and you can be blessed, but, you know, I'm not blessed, and that guy over there is not blessed, and it's just that's our lot in life. No, 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 no. The blessed life is a choice. Everybody say it's a choice. And I said to God, I'm going to start to choose life. Now, when I started to choose life, I was more broke than the Ten Commandments. I had way more month than I had money. But something shifted on the inside of me. And I said, I'm not going to live in the curse anymore. I'm going to start a trajectory, and I'm going to start moving forward in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? So that was a major, major wake-up call. Then I was in some meeting in Toronto, Rob, with a bunch of youth pastors, business owners. This is years ago, somewhere off of the DVP or somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And I'm listening to this guy minister and stuff and sitting with some of my peers. And I hear him say, he stops in the middle of his message. And so this would have been in the mid-90s, early 90s, somewhere around there. And I hear this man of God say, some of you are here have the generational curse of bad decisions on your life. And again, I gasp. I say, oh, that's me. And here's the goodness of God. When God reveals something to you, you don't feel condemned. You actually feel a little bit of hope. When I saw, like, I could actually choose the blessed life, I felt, my goodness, there's a chance here. There's a hope. And I felt the same thing about this, having this generational curse of bad decisions. See, what a lot of people didn't know back then was that I had my honeymoon first, then I had a kid, and then I got married, and then I went into full-time ministry, and then I went to seminary. I did everything backwards, and I used to laugh about it, and I used to tell stories about it, and how I just do everything backwards, and how messed up am I, and then one day God says to me, Al, I never intended that for you. He said, I've been having to rescue you in each of those circumstances, and I felt his love, and what happened was I got used to being rescued. And I'm working on a new series now, the difference, you know, that God wants to stop rescuing us and start blessing us. But maybe next time I come, I'm going to come again. Even if they don't want me to come, I'm coming again. They didn't know I was coming this weekend. I just showed up and they said, okay, well, you can preach, but don't be very long. They put a time clock on me. I was like I'm going to listen to that. You know, I'm 60 years old. Like, I'm not going to listen to that. And so I postured myself. I said, okay, God, I want to turn this thing around. I want to start walking in the blessing. I want to be redeemed from generational curses. And just so you know, generational curses can't get fixed with willpower. Like when you hear some, like, poverty, my grandpa was in poverty, my dad was in poverty, I'm in poverty, my kids are in poverty. My great-grandpa was an alcoholic, my grandpa was an alcoholic, my dad was an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic. What is that? That's the generational curse getting passed down generation to generation. The only, and most of those generations would say, I will never be like my father. I will never be like my grandpa. And when they're 30 years old, they're exactly like their grandpa. Why? Because you can't will it. You can't willpower it out. Now, some people are, they just do it and they get through somehow, some way. But generally speaking, this is where you see the curse get passed down generation to generation to generation. And this is where we need the power of God, the life of God, the anointing of God to break the power of generational curses so that we can understand. But even before you even get to that place, you have to understand that you have access to that. That you can actually receive that, experience that, as opposed to, well, I guess I better just tolerate this. You know, what you tolerate, you'll never change. Kenton's trying to get me to lose 20 pounds, but he doesn't know I'm willing to tolerate this 20 pounds. It's like, Al, you got to eat more protein. So I'd send him pictures of what I mean, like pumpkin seeds. They are so not delicious. So I dip them in chocolate. And then he's got me eating turkey sausage. You know how bad? And no, not just turkey sausage. Turkey sausage that's microwaved. The only thing worse than turkey sausage is when you microwave it. And then he's got me eating almonds. So I enjoy the almonds, but I ate like a whole bag from Costco. And he says, Al, you're losing weight. I said, no, I'm gaining weight. Well, how much are you eating? I said, I ate the whole bag. He said, this is the problem. I said, I'm gonna have to delete you off of my contact information. I said, I love you, but I can't take any more of your garbage. In Genesis chapter 3, Kenton said, no, the serpent said. Now, the serpent was more crafty. Everybody say crafty. Crafty means to be skilled in deceit than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? This is where the questioning spirit entered the earth. You know, there's a questioning spirit out there, right? There's people who ask questions, and there's people who ask questions to catch you. How about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They weren't wanting to learn anything. They were wanting to catch Jesus. There's a spirit out there that asks questions like that. Be aware of it. It started here in Genesis chapter 3. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And the serpent said, you'll not die. You'll certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her. A lot of people don't know that Adam was right there, heard it all. Everybody's like, why did that woman did that? Right, Rob? And Rob, we were right there. We were right there. We took a bite of that thing, Rob. And then she also gave her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is where shame came into the earth. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the gardens. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. This is where fear came into the earth. I heard you, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? And I propose to you this morning that this is where the first ceiling came into the earth. Up to this point, there was no ceiling. It wasn't about a low ceiling or an elevated ceiling or a higher ceiling. It was about no ceiling. Everybody say, no ceiling. There was absolutely no ceiling. And so they got to live and experience what it was like to live with no ceiling. And so then we find this transformation of negativity, this transformation of sin, and all of a sudden now we're dealing with the very first ceiling in the earth. And lo and behold, who was the one that caused that to happen was the serpent. And one of the ways that snakes or serpents operate is they operate by suffocation. And if we saw any new understanding of suffocation in the earth is when we saw it through COVID. Locking people down, closing things off. By the way, this is not for or against COVID, or don't get me going down that road, you crazy Alberta, Vancouver people. This was about separation. And I knew we were in trouble when I started ministering to families that I knew there was such a spirit of division at work, that those families would never be repaired. Not because God couldn't help them get repaired, because they were so adamant about their point of view, so adamant and moved by that spirit of division that even to this day, families, churches, cities, communities are separated. How did all that happen? Through the spirit of suffocation. And then we walk into inflation. So we get hit with COVID, we get hit with inflation. What is that? That's more restriction. That's more suffocation. Then we get hit with rising house prices, and we can't. What's that? That's more suffocation. And so we see this work of suffocation that started all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And we see that the ceiling comes into the earth, And we're still battling that. But I got some good news for you. We're going to get to it in just a moment, how God's got an answer for that. Just like he had an answer for the barrenness that's in our lives. He wants us to invite him into barrenness, into our barrenness. He wants us to invite him into every single area of our life. And so, yeah, it's just the most amazing thing to see how the suffocation begins to work. And really what it does in the church, what it does for believers, is it causes us to shrink. It causes us to either not pray or pray so small that it's just like it's when God in of himself is asking us to believe big and to pray big and to have great expectation for the future. And so we see this work of all of a sudden there's been no ceiling and we step into a place of a ceiling. In Genesis chapter 12, it says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your young people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. Everybody say bless. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went. Listen, you need to know that the only reason that Abraham got to experience is because he followed the instruction of the Lord. If he did not, that little part is, and so he, I don't even, it's up there. And so he went, and so Abraham went. That is the pivotal place where things began to shift and change. Where God was able to do something. Why? Because God always needs something to work with. The guy with the shriveled hand, what happened to him? Did he just get healed? No. Jesus said to him, he gave him an instruction. And he said, I need you to stretch. God had needed something to work with. And so as he stretched out his hand, he was healed. The 5,000 people that were hungry, God needed something to work with. He needed the fish and loaves. He said, what do I have? He was needing something to bless. He was because that's what the blessing is. Blessing is the empowerment to succeed and to do well and to multiply. And so he needed something. God is always looking for something to work with. God says, well, why doesn't God just show up? He will show up. You got to invite him. He will show up. You got to give him something to work with. That's why we give. Because we're giving God something to work with. Hello, somebody. Thank you very much. That's good, Al. Well, I'm going to buy one of your cassette tapes after the service. These people, you don't even know what a cassette is, do you? Go to the next passage of scripture, please. Galatians chapter 3:29 says this, and if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's descendants. If you know Jesus, you're part of Abe's family. And heirs according to what? To the promise. We get to walk in the promise that was given to Abraham that said, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I'm saying to you, the only way that we can even begin to even think about that is we have to understand that there shouldn't even be a ceiling. Not just let's lift the ceiling or let's go to a higher ceiling. And I've preached all those messages about higher ceilings and break the ceilings and glass ceilings and all that. When in essence, we actually need to get rid of the ceiling. And God is saying, and to us, if we belong to Christ, if we're part of God's family, Jesus made it possible for us to tap into and live in the fullness of Abraham's blessing. What blessing? That through us, the nations of the earth will be blessed. You can't bless the nations of the earth unless you're blessed. Hello, somebody. You can't bring in the harvest unless you're blessed. You can't bring in the harvest out in the fields if your combine's already breaking down. If it's got no tires on it, if you got no diesel fuel, you got to have something to work with. And God says, if you'll give me what you have, let me work with it. Let me multiply it. Let me see what I could do. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. No, I do like you people. I do. Genesis 13. And so Abraham went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had. And Lot went with him. And Abraham had become, was Abraham wealthy? No, he wasn't. What was he? How many know there's a difference? There's a difference between wealthy people and very wealthy people. I'm wealthy. My friend Rob is very wealthy. Jess is wealthy. I'm very wealthy. You see, Oprah's very wealthy. Elias Pettersson. Anybody follow hockey? He just signed almost a $100 million contract. He's not doing too bad. You guys don't even like him because you're Calgary Flames people. All right, we'll play. Okay. All right, we're going to close in prayer right now and go to the Canucks game. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great. They were not able to see their see the blessing was working. But it was working because of Abe, not because of Lot. Lot was following. Lot was the nephew. And Lot's following Abraham around and thinking, hey, this is pretty cool to be prospering and flourishing, and my cattle, you know, one cow's given like not one calf, but three and four. It's like, this is fantastic, and wow. What he didn't know is that that was because of his uncle, Abraham, because the blessing wasn't given to Lot. It was given to Abraham. And they're so great, and quarreling between Abraham's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me. Let's not have a spirit of division between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company, and if you go to the left, I'll go to the right, and if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And again, he's the man, but he chose to humble himself and say, the blessing that's on my life is so powerful, it doesn't matter if I yield to him making a decision, because where I'm going with God. And where I'm going to a place where there is no ceiling anymore. And I'm going to walk in the fullness of that. And he had this great confidence that at that point in his journey, if he chooses left, that means he was supposed to go right. And if he chooses south, then I'm going to go north, because that's the direction that I'm going to go, because God's hand is on my life. He had that confidence. And what we know historically is that Lot chose to go where? Sodom and Gomorrah. A place that already had the curse on it. It looked good. It looked exciting. It looked amazing. A lot of fun. Open 24/7. Free crab legs at the casino table. And, you know, and all this stuff. Do you guys not even know what crab legs are, you know, here in Melbourne? But anyway. But the place that already had the curse on it. Dixon, the place that already had the curse on it. And, well, let me just read on here. And then God says to Abraham, after Lot had parted, after the spirit of division was trying to wedge its way in to stop the flow of the blessing, look around from where you are, to the north and the south, to the east and the west, and all the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. So we see Genesis chapter 3, the ceiling comes. There is no ceiling, there is a ceiling. And now we see God at work in Abraham's life trying to remove that ceiling. And he's saying, I want to do such a big work in your life. I want to bless the nations of the earth. I want to bless Journey Calgary Church in 2024 in such a way that it's over the top. It's absolutely incredible. And in order for that to happen, we have to have a faith and a belief that we're not to live under a ceiling anymore, that we're not even to lift the ceiling, but we're supposed to see the ceiling removed in Jesus' name, and we can go back to the way that God always intended it and say, oh God, I thank you that there's no more ceiling. We live under an open heaven in Jesus' name, and we're going to begin to walk and fulfill all that you've created us to be. And it all was the work of redemption of Jesus Christ on the cross, saying, I want to fully redeem the way that it was all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Say it with me. Say, what ceiling? Say it with some Alberta attitude. What ceiling? Yeehaw. Say it again. Say, what ceiling? Come on, Dixon. Get some attitude up there. What ceiling? We've yielded to the lie, the deception, the pushback, the barrenness. And God is saying to us, I revealing to you in 2024 that I want you to experience, live in, walk in the fullness of no more ceiling. No more ceiling in your business. No more ceiling in your prayers. No more ceiling in your health. No more ceiling in your family. No more ceiling in the church. No more ceiling in your finances. No more ceiling in your education. But you're going to walk in the fullness of what God always intended. We're not trying to get something that God doesn't want us to have. We're trying to step into and get into place and get into a spiritual alignment of what he's always intended for us to live with no ceiling. Can you say hallelujah? It says, I have 5 minutes. In the name of the Lord, I just declare that to increase in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 15. I'm just about almost done. Almost, not really. Genesis 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid. Yeah, but I always have a little bit of fear. I'm always worrying. You're not supposed to. If God said to you not to, if Jesus said to you not to worry, he will give you the help not to worry. He will not leave you alone and say, well, but I always worry. This is the problem. You've tolerated worrying for your whole life, and that's all you know. And I'm saying to you, I'm not condemning you. I'm giving you a way out here and saying, if Jesus said, do not worry, he will give us what we need to not worry. I'm not saying it'll happen overnight because you got to reprogram a little bit here, folks. But we're like, you can hear people praying and there's all worry all over it. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure what's going to happen with those prayers. Like, it's a nice prayer, but it's full of worry. We're supposed to pray in faith, not wavering, not double-minded. I hope God shows up. That's nowhere in the scripture. That's us trying to walk through our faith in the flesh. But we're to walk through our walk with God by faith in Jesus' name. You know it's impossible to please God without faith, right? Like literally, it's impossible. You literally can't do it. Okay, where was I in there? Then he said to them, show your offspring. God took him out of that smaller place of suffocation and into that unlimited ceiling. I got to spend some time with the board on Friday. I got some good news. We've lowered your tithe from 10% to 8%. Yes, you're welcome. And with the staff, we got them all an increase of pay two weeks in Hawaii. And so we have no money to pay for it, but I negotiated that for you. So you're welcome. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay. Malachi 3. We spent some time with the board uploading on carbs, and then yesterday carbs, a lot of carbs. Canton. I tried to eat healthy. You know what? I'm just trying to submit to the leading of the Lord in the carbs. Okay. And then we met with the staff, and we asked this question, something that I've been asking since the start of this year because Holy Spirit instructed me to do it. What am I believing for that's impossible? You need to write that down, put it in your phone, put it on your... Don't tweet it. Don't Facebook it. Don't Instagram it. You can if you want, but that's just weird for old people. What am I believing for? That's impossible. And everybody has a different level of what is impossible. So for some of you, you have the capacity to do what somebody else is believing that is impossible. You already have that capacity. But somebody else needs a supernatural breakthrough for that to happen. What are you, not what everybody else, what are you believing? That's impossible. We are called to live in the impossible realm. We are called to walk with God and experience the fullness of that. Malachi chapter 3 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the, everybody say floodgates. It's not a window, a Grammy's room at the cottage. It's a floodgate. And the word, the language used in Malachi is the same language that's used in Genesis when God opened up the heavens, the floodgates, and flooded the earth. This is how God is thinking with this passage of scripture. He's not thinking a little window. Oh, here, Caleb, here's a little blessing for you. Here's $5. Go out and get, you can't even get a Starbucks. Get a Tim Hortons here. He's like, and maybe one Timbit. Just God bless you, son. You know, just bless you. You know, and that's not what God is doing here. He said, open up the floodgates and pour out so much blessing that you can take all of U of C out for dinner one night. All thousands of them. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, rebuke the devourer, and the vines in your field will not drop in their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. What ceiling? Is there a ceiling there? Would God put that there to mock us? Would he put it there to confuse us? Would he put that there to as some cruel joke? Of course he would. He's a good father. I'm saying to you, I have 3 seconds. I'm over 4 seconds. I'm saying to you, God is asking you to begin to believe for the impossible. And you won't be able to believe for the impossible if you don't begin to understand that God wants to remove the ceiling that's been in your life, in your business, in your finances, in your health, in your relationships. And all it may take is the simplicity of God, I invite you. I invite you into the fullness of that. Can you go to the next scripture? John 19:30 says, it is. Remember who Jesus was. He's the second Adam. God creates Adam. He's the first Adam. And the first thing God does with Adam is he blesses him. And the blessing means to be empowered. He's empowered. Then sin comes in the earth and the ceiling comes. And we've been having that pushback of the ceiling since all the way back here. Jesus comes on the scene as the second Adam, comes and doesn't just redeem us from our sin, although that's the primary for sure, but he redeems us to what we were supposed to be living and experiencing, which is a no-ceiling life, no matter what that represents in your life. He paid the full price, wiped out the sin, not just so you have a great home in heaven, although we get to do that and we're going to party righteous up there. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be a professional breakdancer up there, just so we know. I asked the team if I could break dance, and they said, we could just pray about it. They said, no. I said, thank you for your help. Jesus comes and he redeems. What's it mean to be redeemed? To buy back. Buy back what? To buy back what we were supposed to live in. And I'm saying to you today, that's God's will for your life. How do we know what God's will is? God's will is his word. God's will is not your idea of what you, some thought that you have about something. God's will is his word. Say that with me. Say, God's will is his word. Say it again. Say, God's will is his word. And if it says it in the word, then I'm going to believe it. And if your opinion differs with the word, I'm going to believe the word. I still like you. You can still take me to the cake for supper. I'll still let you pick up the tab. But underneath it, I'm going to be, what a tool. No, I'm not going to say. I'm going to believe the word. I'm third generation Pentecost, which means I told the congregation this morning, that means I'm third generation screwed up. And there was a time in my life when all these wake-up calls were happening for me that I made a conscious decision that I'm going to go back to only the Word of God. I'm not going to go remember what I learned in Sunday school with my teacher teaching, hello to little Johnny, and you know, and Jesus did this. And like everybody thinks Jesus was poor because somebody brought a thing, a Calvin Klein and a Gap onesie to the thing. Jesus wasn't poor. The Magi that came to see Jesus at his birth were wealthy people. They brought camels of wealth. It wasn't a little baby dedication. Oh, look at this. He's so cute. He's going to look so cute in that $2.99 onesie. Jesus had a full-time finance guy. How many know poor people don't have finance people? If he's poor, there's nobody looking after. You don't. What would you have to look after? Anyway, I don't even want to go down that road. Sorry that I just screwed everybody up right there. All I'm saying to you is God redeemed us through his son Jesus so that we could experience what we were supposed to experience. What ceiling? What ceiling? Can you take me to the very last passage? Yeah. Ephesians 3:20, the Passion Translation says this: never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Do you see any ceiling there? He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Will you say it with me? What ceiling? Come on, some Alberta attitude again. What ceiling? Somebody's been lying to you. It's a suffocator. It's the enemy trying to stranglehold your faith, stranglehold your belief. You know that the enemy's not after our past, right? He will condemn us in our past. The enemy is always after our future. And he'll try to hold you in your past by condemnation, by humiliation, by offense, all kinds of things. But he's ultimately wanting to stop your future. He wants to stop you from running again. I settle my case. The defense rests. The word of God is spoken. You are to be living and experiencing not an elevated ceiling, no ceiling. Will you stand with me all over this auditorium? Did I preach better the second time? Thank you for that patty cake. I will remember that. I love you people. We're not done yet. Just hang on. I wonder, as God begins to remove the ceiling off of your life, how different you're going to pray. How different you're going to see things. Remember when God took Abraham out of that tent, out of that place of suffocation, he wasn't taking him out there so he could just have a breath of fresh air. He was elevating his visual and hearing status so that he could understand how big God wanted to bless him. God says, I need you to look up. I need you to look that way and that way and that way. If you're living in suffocation, you'll look up and say, well, I can see the back of the chairs. I can see the back of the spiritual zone. God elevated and took him outside where it was now unlimited. Because that's how he thinks. And that's how he wants you to think. And that's how he wants you to pray. And that's how he wants what you to believe for your business. If you own a business or in sales, and you make your living by sales, but just raise your hand, just wave it at me, or run a business, just hold it up for a minute. Yeah, don't be embarrassed. I won't embarrass you. Okay, everybody come up here. No, I'm just kidding. Your dad would do that. No, he wouldn't. You know I love your dad, right? Yes, I know. I really love him. His dad used to travel with me. We traveled all over the nation of Canada before you were even thought of. But your dad was making out with your mom before she was your mom. And before they were married. They were kissing before they were married. It's like, I'm so sad. But then eventually Caleb came along. Wow, beautiful. You know this is all your dad's fault. I break the power of all barrenness where people in sales, businesses, I break it now in Jesus' name. And I declare that there's no more ceiling, no more resistance, no more holdbacks, no more withholding, no more the enemy of the camp ruling and reigning. I break the power of that today, and I declare the presence of the living Jesus. I declare the presence of the living God. I declare the power of breakthrough manifesting in the people of God here in this house today. I declare that this year will be a year of impossibilities coming to pass, coming to fruition. I declare now, in the name of Jesus, the living God showing up in every barren place, whether it's relationally, whether it's finances, whether it's sales, whether it's employees. I break the power of it now in Jesus' name. And I release now the goodness of God showing up now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray now for where there's been division in families, churches, organizations. Jesus, you told me if we would invite you into those barren places, that you would begin to cause it to flourish. So I invite you now on behalf of my friends. In my life, in my friend's life, in this church, I declare such a beautiful, sweet work of restoration right now. Thank you, Jesus. And I release that word, Father, that you gave me at the beginning this year, that in 2024, unsettled business is being dealt with. All unfinished business is being dealt with. All unfinished business you are causing to get settled in our favor right now in Jesus' name. God, I declare it's happening today. I declare it's happening this week. I declare it's happening this month. I declare it stretching into the rest of 2024, and I declare it showing up all of the time. All unfinished business is about to get settled in your favor in Jesus' name. Oh, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, you just received that right now. The Holy Spirit's just working on that. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Love you. Thanks for putting up with Esther and I. Mostly me putting up with me. Such a beautiful people. What are you doing up here? My neck was sore. Just kidding. Don't you love this guy? He's incredible. Love. Yeah. I think they like me. You got it. Love you, buddy. Good man, great servant of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.